It's very nice to be with you again this morning, and also for the next two Lord's Days, if our Lord be not pumped. And during these 3 weeks, I would like to study with you the 12 tribes of Israel. So would you turn over, please, to the book of Genesis and chapter 49. Reading from verse 1. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch. Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly. Mine honour, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they digged down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob, and scatter them in Israel. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choice vine, he washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. Now we'll read that far. I don't anticipate we'll get beyond the first four sons of Jacob this morning, but we'll be doing very well to get that far. But as we all know, God has raised up an earthly people for his glory, their father being Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Then the family grew into a nation through Jacob's 12 sons. Those 12 sons heading the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, in the way in which those 12 boys were introduced into this world, it was not only through Jacob's wife Leah, but through Rachel and through their handmaidens also. First of all, you remember how that Leah bore Reuben. He was the firstborn. And then she gave birth to Simeon, to Levi, and to Judah. At that point, Rachel's envy was greatly aroused, so much so that she took her handmaid by the name of Bilhah, and she gave that handmaiden to Jacob. And so two boys were born, Dan and Naphtali. Now, Leah was not to be outdone by Rachel after this fashion, so she took her part in this by taking her handmaiden, Zilpah by name, and giving that handmaiden to Jacob. And so, from the handmaiden of Leah, Zilpah, there was born Gad and Asher. And then Leah herself gave birth to Issachar and to Zebulun. And then finally, God blessed Rachel. And she was able to bear two sons to Jacob, Joseph, and Benjamin. Now they are the 12 sons of Jacob, whom God has developed and will develop into a mighty testimony to his name. Of course, You must remember that there were two other boys who have taken their place amongst the 12 tribes of Israel. That is the two sons of Joseph. To Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Well, you say in that case there are 14. Well, not quite. You see, what happened was this, that with the passing of time, Ephraim gradually took over the place of Joseph. And the tribe of Joseph became the tribe of Benjamin, of Ephraim. And then Manasseh took its place among the 12 because God gave a special portion to Levi among the tribes. And rather than being counted among the tribes, they had a special portion as God's own tribe. Remember when they were settled in the land of Canaan, there was a portion of territory given to each of the 12 tribes? Well, no portion of territory given to Levi. But rather, Levi had 48 cities scattered through the land of Israel. Even in their gathering around the tabernacle in the wilderness, whilst the tribes were set three on either side of the tabernacle, Levi had a special place marked out right at the gates of that tabernacle. And so Ephraim and Manasseh came into the 12 tribes in the place of Joseph and in the place of Levi. Later in the experience of the children of Israel, and as you read through your Old Testament, you'll find two tribes absolutely dominant amongst the 12. In the south, there is the dominant tribe of Judah. And often that southern kingdom is called the kingdom of Judah. The name Jew, for instance, has come down from the tribe of Judah. And then in the north, the dominant tribe among the 10 is Ephraim. And again, especially in the minor prophets, you'll find Ephraim referred to time and again, meaning the 10 tribes of that northern kingdom. But not only a place in the past for these 12 tribes of Israel. I'd like to emphasize that God in his purposes will have a people on earth to his praise and to his glory, a people who will be witnesses to all nations, a people who will be just like the tribe of Levi in that they will all be the priests of the Lord. And that people, the nation of Israel, with its 12 tribes. So, remember, Israel to be regathered, in fact in our day and generation, Israel is being regathered, though in unbelief. But God will gather his people to his land. Again, Israel, with the 12 tribes, Israel has a place in witness. Once the church is taken home to heaven. That's so, isn't it? Because when we come to Revelation chapter 7 and Revelation chapter 14, we find there the 144,000 witnesses, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Although it's interesting there when you come to those 144,000 and those 12 tribes, that Dan is excluded. And that tribe without inheritance that we were speaking of, the tribe of Levi, is brought into the place of witness in that day. Dan is excluded for a special reason, but I certainly can't go into those reasons this morning, although there's at least three good reasons why Levi should replace Dan during the tribulation years. And then in the millennium, during the 1,000 years reign of the Lord Jesus, God is going to divide again an earthly portion to each one of those 12 tribes. Not necessarily the same portion of land as they had when they first came into Canaan, but God has something very special and very wonderful for each of those 12 tribes in the future. A vast tract of ground which they will inhabit for his glory. Moreover, upon the gates of that new Jerusalem, that holy Jerusalem, there will be the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. The gate is the place of the comings and the goings. And the gate is the place where you have the link between that which is inside and that which is outside. And whilst we share a portion with the Lord eternally as the bride of Christ on earth, there will be the 12 tribes of Israel, and we shall have a very special link with those 12 tribes as we go about the service of God, and as the blessing of the Lord spreads out from Israel on earth to the four corners of the earth. So, the names of the 12 tribes on the gates. And just again, by in this general preamble, don't forget that the 12 apostles will be upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So certainly they have a glorious future, and the Lord will be honoured in it all. But now let's start to think about these 12 boys. I want to go through them one by one over these weeks, just in order to draw out some lessons for us to learn from these lads and from the tribes which sprang from them. It's most interesting that the qualities that were in these 12 boys remained with the 12 tribes right throughout their history. And there's quite a lot for us to learn in that. Now Reuben. Reuben is the firstborn. And the name Reuben means, behold a son. Behold a son. And even in those words you can capture something of the exuberance of Leah when that boy was born to Jacob. Behold a son. My, what promise there was in that boy Reuben. But old Jacob, when you come to chapter 49, looking back on the experience with this lad, he says, Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Now it's important to remember that despite all the promise that was bound up in that man Reuben, there was a great failure with it. And the great promise did not materialize for the glory of God. The beginning of Jacob's strength, the excellency of dignity, the excellency of power, Reuben and the tribe which sprang from him were continually marked by failure. They stayed, you remember, on the east side of the Jordan. They didn't take up possessions in the land of Canaan itself. They were a people who had flocks and herds and lived a nomadic sort of life. There was no hero. There was no prophet. There was no judge. There was no man of God ever to come out of the tribe of Reuben. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. And when you go looking for names prominent from the tribe of Israel, of Reuben, all you will find is Dathan and Abiram, the two who rose up in rebellion against the Lord. Now true it is that quality of instability will bring us down in the service of God, no matter what amount of promise there may be inherent in our lives. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Reuben was characterized by a playing with sin. And because of this tendency of the boy to become involved in that which was sinful before the Lord, his life was a succession of failures. And brethren, so will our lives and service be also. You cannot play with sin and amount to anything with God.
I'm not going to get through those four boys, that's obvious, so I'll spend a little bit more time with Reuben. I don't know whether I've ever mentioned to you the story of Sinbad the sailor, have I? It's a favourite of mine, and I think I've plagued the ears of brethren with it for years. Sinbad the sailor, he was a boyhood favourite of mine, and I like the story, you know, where he got on board his ship and was sailing over the Indian Ocean, and it was a calm and placid sea. And as he was sailing his boat over the Indian Ocean, he went past a magnetic rock. And as he went past this rock, all the bolts, all the bars, all the nails, all the things that fastened the ship together sprang out of the wood and came across and hung onto the magnetic rock. But it was such a calm sea that the boat continued on with Sinbad and his crew until the first wave made its way across that ocean. And as soon as it hit the boat, it fell to pieces. Nothing to hold it together. That's just like Reuben. And it's just like the Christian today who plays with sin. The bolts, the bars, the nails of righteousness which hold our Christian lives together are taken away by the playing of sin, and our Christian service and experience will just crumble before the first wave that the devil raises. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Reuben, he lost three great privileges because of his sin with respect to Jacob's concubine. He lost the privilege of being the firstborn that was given to Joseph. He lost the privilege of being the priestly family that was given to Levi. And he lost the privilege of kingship, and that was given to Judah. But those three privileges really belong to Reuben. But because of this matter of playing with sin, he lost them not only for himself, but for the tribe also. And yet when you come to the blessings of Moses in the book of Deuteronomy, you find some very gracious words. Do you know what Moses says of Reuben? And you have a look at it sometime in chapter 33, let Reuben live and not die. Let Reuben live and not die. And I like to equate that with the New Testament verse, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his blessings of forgiveness as we come in penitence to him. Well now, so much then for the boy Reuben. But what about Simeon? Simeon also points out some lessons. Simeon's name means hearing with acceptance. Hearing with acceptance. But the Simeon and the tribe of Simeon have a reputation for being deaf to the voice of God. Now that's true of them all through their experience. They were a tribe which wanted their own way and which went about their own schemes despite the warnings of God, and they were characterized by a violence and a cruelty which was abhorrent to God himself. Simeon and Levi, and you notice Levi in his early days was linked with Simeon in this respect. Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. If we are to survive for God, then we need to listen to the voice of God and not be reckless in our self-will. There's many a Christian made shipwreck because of a persistency in self-will and in not hearing the voice of God. Now Simeon is an excellent example of this. It's a tribe which came out from Egypt. We have 59,300 of them coming out from Egypt, a strong tribe. By the time they passed over the Jordan and went into the land, there were only 20,000 of them left. And by the time you get the formation of the southern tribes with the death of Solomon, you have Judah and Benjamin and not Simeon, although Simeon was given the portion also down in the south. No tribe of Simeon remained because of their persistency, because of their self-will, because of their spirit of violence and cruelty in their hearts. They're gone. History tells us, of course, that the tribe became so weak that it was unable to hold the lands down in the southern parts, particularly because of the warlike Philistines and others, and the families of Simeon moved up into other tribes, into other areas, and in the main became school teachers. Now, I haven't got anything against school teachers, and my apologies to any school teachers here this morning. I'm not suggesting you're from the tribe of Simeon, far be it. But this is what they did. They went up and they became school teachers. They became attached to other tribes throughout the land. But as far as they themselves making a stand for God is concerned, it was impossible because they wouldn't listen to the voice of God. Now, the lesson to learn from it this morning, that the will of God is good and acceptable and perfect. The lesson for us is to hear the words of the Lord Jesus himself when he prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done." And Peter exhorts us to live according to God in the Spirit. If we so observe these things, we shall escape the reproach which came upon the tribe of Simeon. Now, very quickly, and then I'll leave it at that, I have about 3 minutes for the tribe of Levi. Levi linked with Simeon. Simeon and Levi are brethren. And Levi's name means closely joined. And that's the thought that's associated with that tribe all through its experience, closely joined. First of all, they were closely joined in failure with Simeon. But they learnt the lessons that God wanted them to learn. I guess they learnt lessons that we would call lessons of restoration today. And instead of pursuing their own course, they severed those links with Simeon and they became linked with the Lord in a very special way. So that then in Numbers chapter 3, God says, "Bring the tribe of Levi near unto me." Bring the tribe of Levi near unto me. And so from that moment, they have that special place of privilege with the Lord. I think I remember telling of you of the 48 cities which they had, of the cities of refuge which they controlled. Something special for God all the time through the experience of Levi. And mark you, great men of God are from that same tribe of Levi. No men of God from Reuben, unstable as water thou shalt not excel. But many great men of God are from the tribe of Levi. I've got a note of some of them here. Listen. Moses, Aaron, Phinehas, Samuel, Jehoiada, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, John the Baptist. Great, illustrious names from God, and all from the tribe of Levi, closely linked in communion with the Lord himself. And this quality of Levi is the quality which God is going to require of his people in the millennium when there are people for his glory. Isaiah chapter 61 tells us of the priestly Levitical function that all Israel will have by and by. And it will be demonstrated to the entire world that Israel is a people closely joined to the Lord. Would that we have that same witness and that same testimony today. Next week, in the will of God, we'll go on with our 12 boys, and we'll start off with that lad Judah, who has such a kingly bearing. Let us pray. Our Father, even as we consider these men of old and these tribes which thou hast under thy hand, we again thank thee that we're able to look off to thy perfect example, the Lord Jesus himself. How great he is, how full of promise for thyself, promise gloriously fulfilled. No instability with our beloved Lord, we thank thee for that. We thank thee that his ear was digged and always open to thy voice and to thy ways. We thank thee for one who has walked and talked with thee, and who has done so since the beginnings of eternity. Our Father, we bless thee then, for the Lord Jesus. Help us to be more like the Lord, we do pray. Help us too to learn the lessons in our own lives from these lads that we've considered. Help us, our Father, to get the good out of that which we've heard from thy word this morning. Now we thank thee again for the privilege of being able to remember the Lord. And we thank thee for the joy and the satisfaction in it that we so remember him until he come. So we conclude this meeting this morning by saying with the Spirit of God, even so come, Lord Jesus. And we pray in that fashion in his precious name. Amen.